All right, then. Welcome back. We're into our third and final hour. I am Jim Rome, live in Southern California off my break. If you're watching on CBS Sports Network, good to have you. What's going on? Program is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage, by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. All right, a busy third hour, a really good one. If you want to call, you better do it right now because I've got back-to-back interviews to end this hour. Coming up next segment, the new head basketball coach at Texas A&M, Buzz Williams. After that, the new head basketball coach at Vanderbilt, Jerry Stackhouse. Championship game coming up this evening. 6:20 Pacific, 9:20 Eastern. CBS, national title game, Texas Tech and Virginia. Hey, can I repeat that last part for you? Texas Tech is in the national title game. Texas Tech, the Red Raiders, going to the national title game in football, that'd be something. I mean, that'd be wild. But nothing compared to them doing it in basketball. That's unreal. And I see where a lot of people are not so fired up about this. A lot of people think that's not the sexiest matchup. That's not UNC Duke. That's not what we were looking for. Yeah, I understand. It's going to be pretty nasty. It's going to be a defensive battle. This is the way they do it. They slow it down. They D you up. Does not mean it's not going to be a great game. I think it will. I think it's going to come right down to the very end. Two evenly matched teams. Two really good teams. And there is skill on both sides. I love the matchup. I love the matchup for a number of reasons. I love the matchup because Virginia is coming off the worst loss ever. And they can make the best kind of history ever. Texas Tech, I love this matchup, because Texas Tech is in the national title game. And this is what Chris Beard does. All this guy does is win. He shows up and he wins. Freaking everywhere this guy's ever been, he wins. In places where you're not supposed to win, and he wins big. I love this matchup. Win. At OilersFan83 tweets, "Dear Jim, stay off my boat." It's not a boat. Got it? Signed, Eric in Orlando.
I don't fish on boats, okay, Matt? I fish on a boat.
Got that, Matt? Let me tell you something, chump. I don't fish on boats, all right? I'm on a boat.
I don't fish on boats, okay, Matt? I fish on a boat.
The reason that came up is because people are always looking to reset that any way they can, but it's coming off my vacation. Again, if you want to see some pictures of my vacation, follow me on Instagram at Jim Rome, because there were a few pictures of me on a boat. And if you're thinking, damn, Rome, you got some mileage out of that boat run, didn't you? Yes. You know why that is? Because I've only one other time been on a boat like that. Another one of my rich friends. I'm not, but I got a couple. Anyway, that's how I ended up on a boat with Adrian Gonzalez, because the former major league great is good friends with a very good friend of mine. And Agon was awesome. God, what a good guy. So that's why we're talking about boats on the program. I'm not a big boat guy, but I had a great boat day with my man Mauricio Oberfeld. 1-800-636-8686. Why don't we go to the phones? You know what? I'm not going to go to the phones. You know why? Because Hawk just told me that Josh in Detroit's the best caller on hold. Do the math. If you're also on hold right now, that does not speak very highly of you. No names mentioned. Eric in Orlando was one of the guys on hold. All right, so let's talk about the Dodgers. We're 1/16th of the way into the MLB season, and there's one question on the mind of every team in the NL West. Have the Dodgers stopped mashing yet? The six-time defending division champs were supposed to be wounded, remember? The senior circuit, double champs, left spring training without aces, Clayton Kershaw and Walker Buehler. Rich Hill's bum knee has him loitering in Poor Valley. Your favorite one, clones, Poor Valley. So when you break camp and you're missing... Poor Valley. When you bust out and you're missing 60% of your starting rotation, you expect a team to get out the twine and the duct tape and try to patch together a couple of good games. What you do not expect them to do is pull out the bazookas and start dropping bombs. You don't expect a fight at the bat rack every single day because they are straight up mashing. 1 through 9, these dudes are rolling up to the plate and teeing off like it's beer league softball, not one of the deepest divisions in all baseball. Remember, the boys in blue hit the D-backs with an Ocho Burger on opening day, an MLB record 8 bombs, and they have not stopped swinging it since. Heading into last night, their 72 runs over the first 9 games were the most scored by any team since Y2K. The 22 bombs were tied for the second most ever over that same stretch. And then they went out and they dropped the 12-pack on, of Coors Light on the rocks. 12 runs, 12 hits, 10 walks, and an absolute mauling by the Dodger offense with 2 more bombs, including this absolute moonshot by Cody Bellinger.
Clubhouse here as well, and it is spectacular. Oh, as was wow. That swing by Cody Bellinger. Santa Maria! Oh, my goodness!
I mean, I could give you the exit velo, or I could give you the launch angle, or I could just tell you to listen to the baseball.
Spectacular.
I mean, seriously, listen to that thing again.
Spectacular.
That is so clean. That is so pure.
Spectacular.
Freaking Scott Stapp is ready to sub that thing in after game day.
Spectacular.
You tell me what's better. After game day. Again. That's 7 home runs for Bellinger. 7 home runs for Bellinger through 10 games. Dude's hitting .455. He's getting on base at almost a 50% clip. His OPS, 1512. Sample size that all you want. That's still an insane number. He's almost 1/3 of the way to the 25 bombs he hit last season, and it's early April. Well, one more thing. He's still just 23. So if you thought that Belly was going to drag that postseason slump to the plate with him after hitting a .115 last October, he's doing just the opposite. He's squaring up Rawlings and putting them into the top deck with an absolute vengeance.
Spectacular.
And the Dodgers are freaking rolling, and these dudes are not even close to being at full strength. Again, no Kershaw, no Poor Valley, no Walker. He's just getting started. And they're 8-2 with an MLB best plus 36 run differential. An NL best 84 runs scored and 24 bombs. And last night, their starter got chased. Didn't even make it out of the fourth. Joe Kelly got knocked around in the pen. They gave up a free run after they forgot how many outs there were. And they still dropped a dozen on the rocks. So bad news for the rest of baseball. Kershaw is coming back. So is the Valley. And Walker got right over the weekend. And if you dug a trench for these 25 after they played things conservatively in the offseason, it took all of 10 games to realize how bad that take was and that you don't bury the Dodgers. They're not back. They never left. And the NL double champs so far look absolutely lethal. And they look locked in for another deep run when it matters most. Sample size that all you want. They are mashing. Mashing.
Get some, Alvin.
Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Medford. Trapper. My man, how did you come out of it, Trapper? How you feeling, kid?
Hanging in there, pal. How you doing, Jimmy?
Good, bud. Really good. Good to hear your voice.
Good. Yeah, started my second round of IV chemo this week. It's not entirely pleasant driving the porcelain bus or going bald. What the hell? It never stopped Bruce Willis or the Cluckster, so I'll be okay.
Oh, boy.
Tonight's game, Jim. Brief prediction. Yeah, it's a battle of the best two defenses in the country, as all the pundits know and say. And as everybody is saying, too, the first team to 40 wins. That said, I think it's important to look at the roads Virginia and Texas Tech took to get there tonight. Virginia had to go to overtime to beat Purdue. They needed the ice water and it was a Kyle Guy's veins and a bad call by the refs to eke out a one-point win over Auburn. Contrasted with Texas Tech, who beat Carolina by 21 points. They also beat Michigan State by 10, shutting down the alleged best player in the country, Cassius Winston, and holding MSU to 51 points. And so we don't forget, they beat the favorite to win it all, Gonzaga. Cavs fans will be touting, I guess, Ty Jerome and Kyle Guy and their three-point prowess. But I think David Moretti, who was asleep in Tech's last game, is going to wake up and be deadly from downtown. Then there's Matt Mooney, also clutch from three-point range, and has that grit and toughness and swag that has been the Red Raiders' hallmark, which is why I'm picking them to win by three tonight. Final note on the sickening ads that we have been subjected to throughout March Madness from the Oxymoron Hall of Fame, the kid with this syphilitic stash, shaving to Bo Diddley's "I'm the Man." The guy in the men's room running from the other guy trying to hit the urine cake. GMC planning to an entire ad campaign based on a tailgate. And last, that snotty kid barking, "Don't patronize me," to his mom. Just carry the damn groceries in, kid, and be glad you got something on your damn plate. Last, Jimmy, a very sincere thank you to you and all my brothers and sisters in the jungle. The support has been overwhelming, Jim. And while I'm battling this beast, it means a bit. I'm out.
Tramps like us. My man. My guy. Trapper. Rack him. Trapper's fierce. My man's battling cancer, as you know, or if you didn't know, you do know now. And I love the jungle family rallying around that. Trapper's one of those dudes, and I've known Trapper a long, long time. I've known Trapper decades. Trapper, he is a made man. You can laugh all you want about tramps like us. 30 pieces of silver.
I'm a made guy.
He is a made guy. He's a made guy because as I came up in Southern California, when this was a local radio program and I toured the country doing tour stops, Trapper was always there, always there. Always made calls, always defended the jungle. And for a long time, Trapper was extremely polarizing because of his politics and because he was not afraid to say what was on his mind. And a lot of you, when I would say, "Let's go to Dana Point," your response always would be, "No!" Because you knew it was Trapper. And so people were always coming for Trapper, and he didn't care because, as I mentioned, my man's fierce. It's like, bring it on. Bring it on. Here I am. You want a piece of me? Here I am. You got something to say to me? Here I am. But then when Trapper was diagnosed and it came on, you could see where the jungle was no longer coming for Trapper, but to rally around Trapper. And you could just tell from what he just said how much that meant to him. And that means a lot to me, too. We got your back, Trapper. You know that. When we come back, Buzz Williams, the new head basketball coach at Texas A&M, joins us. After that, the new head basketball coach at Vanderbilt, Jerry Stackhouse. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Welcome back. I'm Jim Rome. I was off last week. It's great to be back right now, and especially given the next two guests that I have. First, I am joined by the head basketball coach at Texas A&M. He was introduced as head coach on Thursday. He was an assistant at Texas A&M from 2004 to 2006. He had 100 wins in five seasons at Virginia Tech. He led Virginia Tech to a school record 26 wins this season. He is a former student manager for Lewis Orr at Navarro College. We are joined by Buzz Williams. Buzz, it is great to have you back. How are you?
Rome, how you doing?
Buzz, I'm great. Head coach Buzz Williams at Texas A&M. Man, what's that like to hear for you, Buzz?
You know what I am, Rome? I'm a junior college manager, miscast as the head coach of Texas A&M. So for people to say that, you know, none of that ever resonates with me because I'm just so incredibly grateful that I'm just glad that I still know how to mop the floor. I don't look at myself as a head coach at all.
The rest of us do, Buzz, and a real good one at that. Listen, you were an assistant at A&M under Billy Gillespie, but your roots run much deeper than that. You were born in Greenville. Your wife was a star high school player in Texas. Your son Mason was born in College Station. So how much does this feel like a homecoming for you?
Yeah, it's so unique, right? We left 13 years ago to be the head coach at the University of New Orleans, which was right after Hurricane Katrina, and we had never been back. We had never been back until we went back on Wednesday night and was just overwhelmed with emotion and so thankful. And it's all of those things that you said. Obviously, I worked for Coach, and it was the start of a beginning of great Aggie basketball there for several years. But it's way bigger than me, and for my family of four, along with my wife and our families, to be able to experience this is very special.
Buzz Williams joining us. So before you flew to Texas, Buzz, you did speak to Billy. You called him to talk to him. What was that conversation like?
Yeah, I couldn't hardly talk. Coach was the last person that I called before I got on the plane with my family to head to Texas. And I was just so emotional, I really couldn't speak. And I just said, Coach, I wanted to let you know thank you and that I'm about to get on the plane heading to A&M. And thank you so much for all you've done. And that was literally all that I could get out, just because I was crying. I was so happy and so emotional.
Buzz Williams joining us. What was his response? What did he tell you?
You know, Coach has been the best to me from the very beginning, even when I had no idea how I could best help him as an assistant. But what he said was, I'm proud for you, and I'm proud of you. And that was really cool. Coach has had an incredible life story and been through a lot over the last 2.5-3 years of his life. And so for all of this to turn full circle, obviously when I was there as an assistant, I had no idea what I was doing. And to be able to think that 13 years later, I would come back as the head coach, that was beyond anything that I was thinking about when I was working for Coach at A&M first time.
Buzz Williams is the head coach at Texas A&M. He joins us once again. Now, Buzz, you've rebuilt programs in the past. You and I have talked about how you've watched, learned, and encouraged guys like Frank Martin and how he rebuilt South Carolina. What about this one? I mean, is the approach going to be similar, or is every rebuild different? How do you approach this challenge?
I think they all have similarities. I think that's a really good question. I think what sometimes is misconstrued and maybe not said in with enough depth is these are people's lives, right? And change is hard, whether you're in college athletics or a Fortune 500 company, because it impacts so many lives, not just me, but my wife and children. But that's just a portion of it. It's my staff. It's those players that are there. It's those coaches and staff and families that were at A&M. And the thing that I've really tried to concentrate on, this is my fifth day at A&M, is to make sure that I have grace and to make sure that I have humility in how I handle each person. It's not just the Texas A&M people. It's also Virginia Tech, right? There were families impacted when I left. There were players and the families that they represent that I left, their coaches. And so trying to have grace in all of that, I think, is the right exit from Blacksburg, but I also think that it's the right entrance to College Station. So I'm trying to be better this rep that I have than I have in the previous reps, just because as I've gotten older, hopefully I've gotten a little bit more mature on how to handle each of these situations with more grace.
We're talking to Buzz Williams. That's a great word, grace. You know, to that point, you've also endowed a pair of scholarships at Virginia Tech that will continue. Yep. So your legacy is going to endure there. And you're somebody, as you point out, that with each rep, you want to be better, you want to improve. So as you look back, Buzz, how are you different as a coach now than before you went to Blacksburg?
There's no way, Ron, that I could answer that in the right way. You know, the lessons that I've learned as a leader in Blacksburg are unquantifiable. Dr. Sands, Whip Babcock have fully supported everything we did during our 5 years here. And, you know, we went from 2-16. They had finished in last place prior to our arrival for a couple of years, and then we did the same. And then fast forward through 5 years to finish in the Sweet 16.
that's so much bigger than an out-of-bounds play or so much bigger than secondary breaks. There's so many lessons on how to transform something. You know, it wasn't a transaction. It was a transformation. And anytime there's a transformation, that can only happen with a lot of people pulling in the same direction. And so I'm so thankful for my time in Blacksburg because of what I learned, not only as a coach, that would probably be the smallest thing, but it's what I learned as a father. It's what I learned as a husband. It's what I learned as a leader. And I hope that I can package those things, if that's the right word, and make sure that as we get started here in College Station, that we're even better over the next 5 years as we get going at A&M in comparison to what we did at Tech.
Buzz Williams is the head coach at Texas A&M. We have him for a few more moments. So, Buzz, you're entering an SEC that was already loaded. It's getting even stronger. As an example, my next guest on the show is Jerry Stackhouse, who's taking over at Vanderbilt. You're coming from a brutal conference in the ACC, but how tough is the SEC going to be?
You know, every coach thinks that the league they coach in is the best. I remember when I was in the Sun Belt, I thought it was the best conference in the world, and nothing has changed. You know, when I was at Marquette in the what was the old Big East, I felt the same. And I think that's what's transpiring in the SEC. I think the initiatives that Commissioner Sankey has been a part of, specific to the administrative people across the league, the commitment to basketball has changed significantly over the last 5 years. I think that you're seeing that. Obviously, Coach Pearl and Auburn were playing 2 days ago. Last year, Coach Martin and the Gamecocks were playing. So you saw that commitment level continue to change the trajectory of the league in a very positive way. And I felt the same way at Virginia Tech. You know, they would finally give us our schedule in mid-September, and I would look at it and would never look at it again. I would glance at it one time and never look at it and ask my assistant just to put the dates on my calendar, because you just get you look at that and you're like, I don't know if we're going to ever win a game. And I think that's what's happening a little bit across the board in the SEC with Coach Stackhouse, with Coach Musk going to Arkansas and the job he did at Nevada. So for sure, that's what's taking place in the SEC.
That's a coach's league. There are some amazing coaches in that league. Now, Buzz, before
Very
I let
good.
You go, you know, you and I have talked about your journey in the past. I bring it up once again because it is incredible. It is inspiring. And if I had
Thank
told you back in the day, Buzz, when you were sweeping floors and washing socks for Lewis Orr, that you would one day be the head coach at Texas A&M, what would you have said back then?
No, I would have been honored just to know that somebody gave me a number to call so that I could hear your voice. This is beyond anything I ever thought of. You know, Coach Orr is 82 and was at the press conference, Rome, on Thursday in College Station. 18 NCAA tournament games that I've been able to be a part of as the head coach, and two people in my world have been at all 18, my wife and coach. What I'm trying to do, and I mean this very respectfully, I'm just trying to delay my inevitable return to hauling hay. And so as long as I can get my picture in the next media guide, it means I got one more year, hopefully, that I can have a positive impact on people's lives around me. But I would have never, ever, 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 I wasn't smart enough, and I'm still not smart enough to reach outside my paradigm and think that something like this would ever become reality.
Buzz Williams, he was an assistant at Texas A&M from 04 to 06, had five great years at Virginia Tech with 100 wins, led Virginia Tech to a school record 26 wins this season, not just a Sweet 16 run, came that close to knocking off Duke, and the former student manager at Navarro College back home at A&M. Buzz, I appreciate you so much. Great to have you on. Congrats on that. Now we'll look forward to our next conversation, Buzz.
I can't wait to be on. Thank you so much for allowing me to be a part today, Roman.
Buzz, you too. Really appreciate you, Buzz. Thanks for making time for it. Always good to have you on this show. Buzz Williams, spectacular. He is so great. 1-800-636-8686. Take a shot. You might be able to get through. As I mentioned, we were going to go back-to-back with two of my favorites. Buzz Williams, definitely one. Also, my man Jerry Stackhouse. I love Stack. Haven't talked to Stack in a little while. He is the new head coach at Vanderbilt. That is a coaches league. Some of the best to ever do it are in that league now. This segment brought to you by Grasshopper, the virtual phone system for small business. Separate business from personal. Separated, I should say. and feel more professional in your customer interactions with the Grasshopper business phone solution. Better small business communication starts with Grasshopper. Try it for free at grasshopper.com. Grasshopper.com. Jerry Stackhouse coming. Back, Jim Rome with you. Last segment of the last hour, and I mentioned we were going to go strong in hour number three. Back-to-back, we have the new head coach at Texas A&M, Buzz Williams. That was last segment. We are now joined by the new head coach at Vanderbilt. He was named head coach on April 5th, introduced as Commodore's head coach earlier today. First season as an assistant with the Memphis Grizzlies. Actually, two seasons as head coach of the Raptors D-League team. He was a D-League Coach of the Year. He was a two-time NBA All-Star. He was a National Player of the Year. He was an All-American at North Carolina. We are joined by the head coach at Vanderbilt. It is Jerry Stackhouse. Stack, it is so good to have you back. How are you, Jerry?
I'm great, Rome, man. How you doing?
Stack, I'm so good. You know, I had to cut your resume short because if I kept reading it, we would not have time for the actual interview. But let me start right here. How does it feel to add head coach to that resume?
Man, it feels awesome, man. I'm so excited to be here, to be able to have a chance to kind of put an imprint on this team, with these guys, you know, this university. I mean, such a great university, man. So I'm excited to get going for sure.
Jerry Stackhouse, my guest. You know, Stack, you and I haven't talked in the last couple of years, but I've been watching you from afar, and it seems to me you had a plan, and you were working that plan, and the plan had you on track for an NBA head coaching job, but then Vanderbilt approaches you about this opportunity. What was it about this opportunity that excited you so much?
Well, obviously, I mean, those 2 years that you talked about, when I was in the G League, you know, formerly the D League, I had an opportunity to see, you know, Malcolm Turner, you know, work, you know, the things, how he grew that league. And when he came to me and approached me with the opportunity of coming in and heading this job, like I said, I really wasn't focused on college. I think my trajectory, you know, in the NBA was on course. But, I mean, I just thought, you know, he talked about doing something special here. This is a special place. It's a really, you know, basketball is special to this community, to this fan base, to the alumni. And being able to get it back on track was something that was somewhat of a challenge, because we have to do it with, you know, with kids that we can't just walk into any top 100 gym and say, okay, we like that kid. You know, because of the academics here, it's a little bit more challenging, a little bit tougher here. And I just, that challenge itself was something that I welcomed and wanted to help him have success.
Jerry Stackhouse is the new head coach of Vanderbilt. You know, Stack, I'm going to talk to you more about that in a minute, but I want to talk about how you got here. I mean, for instance, you had an amazing college and professional career. You could have done a number of things when you retired, but you went into coaching, and it wasn't like some luxury coaching gig either. You were an assistant with Toronto, and you coached the Raptors affiliate in what is now the G League, as you point out. Man, this is not a glamorous life. You're coaching in small gyms. You're in Delaware, Maine, Fort Wayne. What was the experience like for you?
Man, it was cool, man, because, I mean, obviously basketball takes you a lot of places, and I didn't think that I would ever be in Portland, Maine, but it was good, man. I had an opportunity to see some places and have a chance to work and develop with kids, and it helped me, man. I had 15 new guys that I had to try to figure out a way to win with right away, and then the next year I had another 15 guys that I had to try to figure out a way to win with, and it's similar to this situation, so I think it definitely helped prepare me for that. Yeah, the long bus rides, the commercial flights, getting up 5 a.m. in the morning. You know, I just think those are things that I needed to do to almost kind of catapult myself and ahead of a few people, because I was so focused. I mean, I love to teach. I love the game of basketball. I love to see guys get better. You know, I started my own AAU program, and that's where I really kind of you know, had found that passion to see guys get better, see kids get better. And now I have had the ability to work with pros and do that. And now I'm coming back to that kind of that intermediate stage of high school kids and pros and able to have an impact there as well. So that's what I love to do. I mean, I'm a basketball lifer and love to be able to give back the things I've learned from the great coaches and teachers that I've been fortunate to play for.
Jerry Stackhouse joins us. He's the new head coach of Vanderbilt. And when you talk about the great coaches and the great teachers, of course, Stack, you start with Dean Smith. You played for Dean Smith in North Carolina, and I know the impact that he had on you. How much of Dean is in you as a coach right now?
I mean, a ton of it. I mean, I would say, you know, if I had to put a percentage on it, I would say 85%. You know, then probably I've taken probably 15% from a lot of other great coaches that I played for, you know, Rick Carlisle, Don Nelson, you know, Doug Collins, Avery Johnson, guys I played for at the professional level, who I've taken a little bit of things from all of them, from an offensive standpoint and from a defensive standpoint as well. I think that's where we really, you know, but as a scorer, you know, I figured out things that I didn't like to see as an offensive player and try to build a defensive scheme and defensive identity around those things, and for me, I've been able to have some success with that.
Stack, take me back. When you were one of the truly elite high school players in the country, and every program was coming for you, what was it like when Dean came to recruit you, and how did your mother respond to it?
Oh, man, it was fun. I think I had him kind of staggered in that day, and Steve Fisher from Michigan was coming in around 10. And like I go back, my mom never really kind of pushed me toward any basketball. She just kind of let the recruiting process, you know, take care of itself. But she had, you know, when Steve Fisher came in, she had some donuts and she had some coffee around 10. And then I think Coach Smith was scheduled to come in around 1. Then about noon, all of a sudden I see fried chicken going, pork chops, cabbage, yams, and everything. I'm like, man, so, you know, that was just that little subtle nudge that, hey, you know, I didn't even think she knew who Dean Smith was, but, man, she obviously did, because she had a spread for him, not so much for Coach Fisher.
That is incredible. That is an amazing story. Jerry Stackhouse joining us, so that little southern nudge. You know, you mentioned AAU ball. You're really familiar with AAU ball because you've created AAU teams. So what about recruiting now? How do you go about recruiting, and what is your message to recruits about Vanderbilt and the opportunity that you have there?
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, with NCAA rules, I'm going to have separation from the AAU, my own AAU program. But those relationships, man, those relationships I had with coaches and directors of different programs across the country, they're going to be, you know, beneficial to our program, because I, you know, as kids come up, that meets the academic profile as well as the athletic profile that we're looking for. You know, it's great to have the talent agents and, you know, and talent scouts and all that they bring to us to kind of help find those names, but it's still a you know, 6 degrees of separation from really getting to those directors and the people that really matter to have an impact with these kids. Unfortunately, those relationships help me do that. So there's already been a number of people contacting me about players and different things like that, so I don't anticipate the recruiting being, you know, too much of an issue. But you know, there's always challenges with anything, just being in something new. And you know, so obviously I'm going to have a staff around me that really understands the college game, obviously a little better than I do since it's my first job. So I'm taking all those things into account, you know, when it starts to, you know, deal with my staffing as well.
That's smart. Jerry Stackhouse joining us for a few more moments. You know, Stack, Vanderbilt, of course, combines the chance for tremendous academic and athletic success. You left North Carolina early to enter the draft, but then you went back and you wrapped up your degree. You finished it off. Again, it's not something that you had to do because you had a really, really good NBA career. Why was that important to you? Why did you go back and finish that up?
Well, I mean, it was something that I promised to my mom that I would do. My mom was always big on academics, you know. I mean, and I took pride as a young guy, you know, making the honor roll, making the principal's list, you know, aside from my athletic prowess, I took pride in those things. I was actually salutatorian of my senior class. So, I mean, I think those are things that people don't know, and where my focus was as far as the academic side. I've taken courses at Harvard just to try to expand who I am as a person. Obviously, I spent a lot of time on the basketball court from college to pros, and just wanted to be able, I knew I was transitioning out of the league, and I just want to be able to look at a spreadsheet and understand what I was looking at, different things like that. So that was really important to me, and those are the things that I'm going to continue to try to emphasize with our guys. I mean, we're going to have an opportunity to not only have some special talent here as far as athletics, but the academic side of things here are going. We're going to have people that are really going to be a part of shaping the world, you know, in the near future. So I'm excited about being able to touch those type of kids, the type of the professors that we hear, the type of game. It's like 35,000 applicants for like 1,600 spots, you know, incoming freshmen. So the competition is unbelievable, and just being able to be around those type of people, we're all going to be able to benefit from that.
Jerry Stackhouse joins us. Stack, one last thought. Vanderbilt, as you know, is coming off a tough year. It included them going winless in the SEC, a 20-game losing streak. You know what you're signing up for. What is the identity that you're looking to build within the program? How is a Jerry Stackhouse team going to look?
We're going to be a defensive team. I mean, I think that's the, you know, obviously we want to, you play offense according to your personnel. And obviously I've inherited a situation. I've inherited the personnel here. I hadn't had a chance to kind of put my imprint on the recruiting and the type of players that I would like to have in there. But I'm, you know, but I'm confident because I've done it in the G League of being handed a team and having to try to do something with it. And there's some talented people. You have some McDonald's All-American that are here. So they've had some success recruiting over the past, and it just hadn't translated on the court. So hopefully, you know, like I said, we're going to be the identity of us as a work team, a team that comes in and grind and make it tough on offensive teams. But at the same time, we want to play with pace, and we want, you know, want to play with great spacing and be able to utilize the personnel that we have, kind of build, not saying that we have a certain offensive philosophy, but build it around our personnel that the best suits them and make the most of their strengths.
He was named head coach on April 5th, introduced as Commodores head coach earlier today, and back in the jungle. Stack, as I mentioned, it's been a few years. It is great to see you doing so well, and so good to have you back on the show, Jerry. Really nice talking to you, Stack. Congrats.
Likewise, man. I appreciate you, Rome. Thank you.
Appreciate you, Stack. Always have. Always will. Jerry Stackhouse, head coach at Vanderbilt. Got time for a call or two before I wrap this thing up really quickly. Man, that is such a great hire. That is so good for him and for them. I love that hire. Not easy now. And again, that is a coach's league. Buzz Williams came on. Stack came on. Time now to answer your Ask the Pros question. You submit a question to me at cbssportsradio.com/askthepros. It's brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. And the ATP quickly. Welcome back, Rome. How lit did you get over spring break? Did you buy a pair of flip-flops with a bottle opener on the bottom? Glad you're back, Nikki.
It's lit!
I'll answer both those questions in order. How lit did I get over spring break? Like a freaking Christmas tree, Nikki.
It's lit.
Did I buy a pair of flip-flops with a bottle opener on the bottom? No, I did not. Thanks, Nikki. Good to be back. That was smooth, man. That was fun. Really nice day. Let's see. Some unfinished business really quickly. Why not? Oh, that's why not. Because we are out of time. Once again, I want to thank everybody who sat in for me last week. Grant Napier, Gary Parrish, and Bill Ryder. My guest today, the aforementioned Jerry Stackhouse, Buzz Williams, new head coaches at Vanderbilt and A&M, respectively. We had Pete Thamel, national title game this evening. Who you have? Texas Tech and Virginia. I don't care what anybody says. I love that matchup. A few hours out, can't wait for it. My thanks to the XR4TI. Good job, crew. Nice job, clones. Good effort. Nice to be back. See you tomorrow. We're out.